Matthew 28 from verse 18. We are discussing on the topic we started last week, the church, the local church, and me. And we'll be asking questions on what is the church? Is the church Dangote Cement? What is the church? What is the local church? How can I choose a local church? What is my responsibility in the local church? So the media will be my role, my part to play in the local church. What is the local church for? Hallelujah. I would say we're going to take it for quite a number of weeks. So today is week 2. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, if you watch, we're not dwelling on heaven and on earth for a while, because we'll get to dwell on it very soon. In heaven and on earth. And I said, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So Jesus' instruction was to go do what? Raise disciples. That is the word in the Greek, matitio, to raise disciples. Raise disciples means to make students. Make students. That's the word disciples. Disciples means to make students. So Jesus is saying, go make students. That word disciples implies to make students from a pupil to becoming a professor. How you raise an apprentice? They go and raise disciples that way. Are you hearing me? Say, go raise disciples. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them. So, how would you raise disciples? He said, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. Right? And we looked at something last week. We said, when he said, go make disciples. Now, when he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, we said, that will not be water baptism. Right? We say it will not be water baptism. Because when you look at Mark's account and Luke's account, it tells you go preach the gospel to every creation. Say, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He talks about to be born again. Hallelujah. It's not water baptism is referring to in Matthew 28. It's referring to what? To be born again, to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So some people say, you know, I heard that one time, say, you'll be born again. Once you are born again and you have not done water baptism, your salvation is not complete. Wonderful. What the theology? Hallelujah. No. Once you're born again, you stay. Some people now went one step further. Now say, to water baptism is an open declaration of faith. I said that one years back. That open declaration of what has happened to you in Christ. Open declaration to who? Who needs it? No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I said, if you need to get clarity as regards to water baptism, we'll have a message on our website, right? Go download it, explaining water baptism. So we explain water baptism from the Old to the New Testament. What is water baptism? Hallelujah. So every question you want to ask, when somebody goes to hell, you need to get it. Hallelujah. But we'll see that it's not water baptism is talking about there. It's talking about to be saved. Now that being born again is baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6 from verse 1. It says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He said, nay, how shall we who are dead to sin live any longer? And he said, don't you know, as none of you who were baptized into Christ. Talking about the new birth. So meaning to be born again is to be baptized into Christ. He said, you were buried with him in baptism. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too should walk in newness of life. That's Romans 6. Hallelujah. So therefore, to be baptized here is referring to the spiritual immersion, which is to be born of God. Hallelujah. It's talking about salvation. Hallelujah. So he says, go make disciples. How did he learn to make disciples? Verse 20 says, teaching them. Hallelujah. Teaching them. Teaching them to observe. So, disciples are raised via teaching. And
This is why teaching is the major, is the primary meeting of the local church.
Am I going to the local church? Oh, we get there. Teaching is the major meeting of the local church. Hallelujah. Okay. You know, I spoke to someone this morning, and the person was telling me, he was telling me about the church you love. I said, why do you love the church? He said, I love the church because of the way they dance. I'm like, interested. He said, when they begin to dance. He said, sometimes they will dance and they will remove their shoes and be dancing. I said, wow. Even the spirit of David is not allowed to die. Oh, glory to God. He said, why she likes the church. I know it's interesting. Don't you think it's interesting? It's interesting. Well, that's the primary reason. Or the primary meeting of the church is the teaching meeting. Are you following me? It's the teaching meeting. So he said, go teach them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in teaching, Jesus now tells us what we should be taught. The aspect of our believer's life, Jesus gave us everything. So you don't just so you can know what you will be taught in church. Do you understand? Yeah. Sir. Yes, you can know what you should be taught in church. He said, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. That is what he taught them to teach. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's continue. Glory to God.
So, you need to understand the fact that Jesus gave us what should be taught into the local church. So, the local church or the church, when believers gather, it tells us how disciples will be raised via teaching, and teaching will be what I have commanded you, which we saw last week, right? Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So meaning, I shouldn't go to church or a believer's gathering is not a place to do marriage seminar. No. Or business summit. Or you say, I'm going to Christian business, how do they call it? Business summit. In church! No. No. And most times, you now see a minister anchoring those meetings. And then the minister has not even invested one year. Yes, not that you have to invest your money to get it out. No. You shouldn't feel what should be taught in church. Did you get that? Because he said, teaching them what I have commanded you. So Jesus did not just tell us how disciples should be raised, he also tells us how or what should be the content of the teaching. Do you understand me? So the teaching has got a curriculum. I will have the curriculum. It's a teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, right? And we saw last week what he has commanded. What has he commanded? The indwelling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
What did he command them? Concerning the resurrection. Would that what we saw? Hallelujah. Concerning his resurrection. Look at Luke 24. Everybody, Luke 24, 25. Okay, Luke 24, 44, rather. Luke 24, 44. Now, Luke 24, verse 24 is the summary of what he taught them when he resurrected. You know, some people thought when Jesus resurrected, Peter, how are you? Thomas, put your hand on. The Bible says he taught for 40 days. Hope you know that. Hallelujah. He taught them for 40 days. You get that in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus taught them for 40 days concerning the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Verse 3, he said, to whom he presented himself, that is Acts 1, 3, alive after the suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen of them during the 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus taught them for 40 days. Now, Luke 24, 44. He said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus taught them for 40 days, and he told them what? These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, Jesus. Now that means what? Jesus taught them pre-resurrection, which is before he died, and at the resurrection, were the same thing. So these were the words which I spoke to you. God was still with you. That all things must be fulfilled, which is the law of Moses in the Psalms concerning me. Do you understand me?
What was that thing? What were those things? Look at verse 25 to 26. I mean, to 27. He said, "Oh, fools, slow about to believe in all the prophets have said." What did the prophet say? Look at the scripture now. Let's do. Okay, let's read verse 25 together. One, two, go. So, meaning the summary of what the prophet said, Genesis to Malachi will be what? Christ suffering and entering into his glory. That will be what, if you put everything together, what they wrote about was Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. And Jesus said that should be what we will teach in discipleship. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
So this implies that at the resurrection, what he will be teaching them will be the truth about the resurrection. What Jesus will be teaching them within that 40 days when the resurrection will be the truth about that resurrection. Right? Now, and we said, what is the truth about the resurrection? We said something last week. Would that be teaching them the truth about the church? Would that be teaching them the truth about the church?
Yes.
Because the church was founded where? In the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So the church was founded at the resurrection. So what he will be teaching them will be that truth concerning the church. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Look at Mark 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Where we were. From verse 13. So this is pre-resurrection. Jesus is talking about the resurrection. Jesus was about to talk about the resurrection. Then in verse 13, he asks the question. Hallelujah. He says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they say, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. No, that is crazy. They saw John, they saw Jesus, and they say John the Baptist. Some said Elijah. Others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Then he said, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Hallelujah. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So look at Peter's response. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. So Jesus being the Son of God, or Son of the living God, was that was the revelation they had about him. You know, when Peter said that, Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." That means it is not revealed by experience. Experience didn't let you know this. Hallelujah. Your senses didn't make you know this, except for my Father who is in heaven. That is revelation. Hallelujah. Those of you who have listened to the message in what witness, we said the way we receive information from God is called what? Revelation. Right? It's called revelation. So if Jesus is saying, "My Father, I mean, blessed are not repeating," so he said, "But my Father who is in heaven," that means Peter was speaking from revelation. Are you hearing me? Peter was speaking from revelation. So that would be the revelation they have concerning Christ in the four gospels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The revelation they have concerning Christ in the four gospels is that he is the Son of God. You can find that in Matthew 14, verse 33. Matthew 15, verse 22. Blind Bartimaeus called him Jesus, that Son of David. Hallelujah. Matthew 4, verse 3. Matthew 4, verse 6. Matthew 3, verse 17. John 1, 14. Look at John 1, 14. In the four gospels, that is the revelation they have about him. Say the only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Holy begotten Son, verse 18. Who is in the bosom of the Father? John 1:14, John 1:18. Hallelujah.
But you know, in the epistles, the revelation they have about him, or let me put it, better put it this way, in the epistles, he is revealed to us as the one who rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He is revealed to us as the one who rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 14, if Christ has not risen. Hallelujah. Romans 1 from verse 1 to 4. Let's look at Romans 1. I want us to be a bit fast because I have a lot to cover. Romans 1 from verse 1 to 4. It says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle to separate the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God by the power, declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. So that resurrection authenticates him as the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So in the epistles, he's revealed to us as the one who rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So last week, we said the church of Christ is founded where? In his resurrection, right? Right? Glory to God. So, and we also said when Jesus resurrected, he resurrected as the church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And we said that rock was referring to himself, the truth about himself. Hallelujah. We're not calling Peter a rock. Peter is not rock. Hallelujah. He said, upon this rock, and we looked at scripture to see that that rock was referring to himself, right? He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He said, the gate of hell will not prevail. And we say, we also saw that the church has been built. The church is not being built. The church, do you understand me? Eh? The church, we'll get to see something when we begin to talk about the local church. That he now hands over the responsibility for growth to men, to the ministry gift. Hallelujah. Which is a further building, but not the building of the church, but the building of the members of the church. We'll get to see that too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when he uses the word, I will build my church, you know, reading that scripture well enough will make you see that you don't go about saying, want to start up a service and let us pray that the gate of hell will not prevail. You want him to die again. Do you know that? Hallelujah. So when he uses that word, the gate of hell shall not prevail, he's saying, death will not stop me. Do you know that? I will resurrect. So in that resurrection, the church was founded. Hallelujah. And we said he resurrected as the church. Did we see that last week? We saw that he resurrected as the church. So Jesus is the person of the church. Are you hearing me? He is the person of the church. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I have something in my notes. I said, so we can call the church the person of Jesus in the resurrection. We can call the church the person of Christ in the resurrection. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's look at that word church again. The word church is from the Greek word ecclesia. The word church is from the Greek word ecclesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. Ecclesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. Ecclesia. Now, we looked at that word last week and we said the word church implies what? To call people out. Right? A call out words. Those who are called out for a specific purpose. Hallelujah. To call out ones for a specific purpose. Hallelujah. And we saw that the word church was not coined by Jesus. Because when you said the word, I will build my church, they all knew what he was referring to. It was not a Jesus word. No.
Yes, sir. It's not a Jesus word. Yeah, you know, church. No. When you say church, ecclesia, everybody in Israel knows what church is. You understand?
Hallelujah. And we saw that, right? Amen.
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 Amen. Because that word church, that word ecclesia means to gather people for a specific purpose. So it's used for when people gather for a specific, we said last week, for a specific, they have the same ideology. You must not lose that. When people gather with the same ideology, so it's called an ecclesia. An ecclesia.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So, if you now read Acts of Apostles chapter 7, Stephen will now call that gathering in the wilderness church. Do you understand? We will now call that gathering in the wilderness, how they gathered with Moses, he calls it church. Because church means a gathering. Do you understand? A gathering of people with the same ideology. Amen. Hallelujah. So, what Jesus was saying is that I will build my own. Then I will build my own church. The gate of hell will not prevail. Meaning, at the resurrection, I will build my called out ones. At the resurrection, you will see my church. Did you get that? You will see my called out ones. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. So that is why when he said, I will build my church, the gate of hell will not prevail. So when he resurrected, the church was formed, right? And we said that church is the person of Christ. And we get to see that now. That person of Christ is the church. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So because that resurrection is the church. So when he resurrected, we have the church. Are you hearing me? Okay, now let's see something. Look at Ephesians quickly. Chapter 1, verse 17. Let's see what the epistle will call church. Ephesians 1, 17. Are you in verse 17? Ephesians 1, 17. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, that is revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavens. Say, far above principalities, powers, and minds, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. It calls the church what? His body. The fullness of him that fills all in all. Hallelujah. So he calls the church his body. Did you get that? He calls the church what? His body. Are you hearing me? He calls his church his body. Glory to God. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He now said, and you. So that and you tells you, it talks about our unity in the person of the church. Do you understand me? So who is the person of the church? Christ. Are you hearing me? So that's our unity. Okay, our unity is also called church with him. Do you understand me? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 7. It says, but to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift to men. Listen, he gave gift to men. He says, and now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower part of the earth. He who descended is also is also the one who ascends far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, say for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, say for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did you see that again? Body of Christ.
Verse 13, it says, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. I want you to get this distinction, to him who is the head, Christ. He now said, from whom the whole body, did you see that? The whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself alone. What did Paul just do now? Paul has just made you see that the church, listen, he now says that body is we all. You understand me? In our identification with Christ by the new birth. Do you understand me? So we are now the body. Do you understand me? We are identified with the person of the church. So he calls Christ the head now. Do you understand me? So what is the epistles making us see? Christ is the person of the church, right? And our unity together by the new birth, do you understand me? It's called church. That unity in Christ. You understand me? By the new birth, it's called church. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
So, the believers, I'm going somewhere. The believers, or those who have believe in Christ's resurrection, together we are called the church of Christ. Why? Because of our identification with the person of the church. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Did you see that in this description you didn't see Dangote cement there? Hopefully you know you did not see Lafarge cement there. Pastor was there. Pastor Smiley said he liked eating on Dangote. Now, did you not see? He said he did not see Lafarge cement there. He did not see Briggs there. Eh? He did not see Baba Yalu blog there. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, our unity in Christ is called church. Never let that sleep. Never let it go away. Never. Hallelujah. It's God. Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at John 2. I suppose I looked at this first, but no way. Let's go back to John 2. I skipped it, I just saw it now. But let's go back to John 2. Look at verse 16 to verse 22. Now, Jesus is about to talk about that same church, about what will happen in the resurrection, John 2. Jesus is about to speak about the resurrection, which is concerning the church. Remember, we said the resurrection is concerning the church, right? Right? Now, Jesus is about to speak concerning that resurrection. He wants to talk about the temple. Now, he walks like he would do. He will walk into a physical temple where they have the normal Mosaic temple. Remember, Moses giving them a temple, giving them a tabernacle, was to talk about Christ. The tabernacle, God never dwelt in bricks. God never dwelt in sanctuaries made with hands. No. Do you understand me? So, was to tell them, Moses was pointing to Christ. But because of unbelief, he will not give them a physical temple to represent what God will do in the resurrection, that heaven and earth will come together. Do you understand me? So that temple that they have was to signify that God and man will unite. But because of the hardness of their heart, they couldn't see it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. We have a series of teachings on that. So you have to get, you go and listen to them. Hallelujah. Especially understanding the gospel 2A and 2B. Make sure you listen to that very well. Amen. Amen. So Moses' tabernacle was to talk about what? So remember last week we spoke about the rock. Moses will use rock, will prefigure rock, right? To talk about salvation. But they had that event. But if you look at the event, you miss the big picture. Because what Moses will write about John 5:45, he says, Moses wrote concerning me. Jesus spoke, said that. Moses wrote concerning me. So what Moses will write about will be concerning salvation. So that means Moses prefiguring of tabernacle will be talking about salvation too. That what? Heaven and earth, God will dwell in man. So that is why in that tabernacle, he will not show you a place called Holies of Holies and tell you God stays in the Holies of Holies. Do you understand? He not tell you God stays where in the Holies of Holies. So in the outer part, people sit. Like we have, some people have in their church, they have altar. They say God stays there. How? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So let's continue. So Jesus will now walk into the physical temple. He wants to talk about the temple of himself. Now remember, they have that temple as God is in that temple. Do you understand? So Jesus walks into the temple. And let's see what he does inside the temple. Verses 16. We'll read down to 22. And he said to those who saw those, he said, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. He's not talking about inside the temple. Remember we've explained this. He drove out those money changers and he said, do not make my father's house the house of merchandise. He's not saying do not come and sell ugu in church. Let me not go there. Amen. Amen. You know, let me tell you something. I have 95 or 96. That should be 96. I was not yet in secondary school. So, I go home worried. I go to my mother. I say, but the Bible says, do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Why are they selling to me? So, because of that, I went to join Boys Brigade. So, we can brigade them out. Funny, right? God, if you do that, there's a veil covering your eyes. You have not seen well. Amen. So you see, I've done that before. Glory to God. Amen. And that is not also a proof or a reason why you now become the gathering. You now have pure stamina. Good fight. Amen. Glory to God. Can we continue, please? Okay, do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. He's speaking about his resurrection. Hallelujah. Talking about his resurrection. So he said, do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. If you read Mark's account, he said, my father's house should be called the house of prayer. Do you understand me? Okay. Verse 17, and his disciples remember that it is written, written zeal for your house as eating meal. Verse 18, so the Jews answered and said to him, what sign did you show us, seeing you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. You see, very funny. They thought he was referring to the physical temple. No, he said, destroy this temple. Where will be the temple? His body. We'll get to see that soon. You understand? So when he said destroy this temple, not referring to bricks. No. Destroy this temple and I will build it in 3 days. Wonder. Right? So what was he talking about? His resurrection. That he will die? Right? Who will destroy the temple? They will live. Did you see that? He didn't say I will destroy this temple. No. Who said he will destroy this temple? Listen, it was when they were accusing him, they said he was the one that said he would destroy the temple. But what he actually said is, you destroy this temple and I will build it in 3 days. Did you get that? But you know, as people always read people's comments, they will read it upside down or downside up. Do you understand me? Amen. So Jesus said, you will destroy this temple, but I will build it in 3 days. He was not referring to bricks, he was referring to his body as the temple. Are you hearing me? So, the 3 days will be in the resurrection. I will resurrect. That's what he's trying to tell them. I will resurrect in 3 days.
Amen.
Let's see. And the Jews said, it took 40 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body.
This that John quickly makes you see that he was speaking concerning the temple of his body.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Look at verse 22. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. And they believed the scripture. What is the scriptures there?
Will the scriptures be Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? No. What we have as scripture will be Genesis to Malachi. That means if you look at Genesis to Malachi, it was talking about the resurrection.
He was talking about the temple,
the resurrection. So when the apostles now say, and they believe the scripture, what does that tell you? It tells you that what the scripture was talking about was concerning the temple. Do you understand? And that temple was referring to his resurrection. That he will resurrect, hallelujah, and the temple will be built. So that means if I go into the Old Testament and I'm seeing bulls and I'm seeing cow and I'm seeing temple and I'm saying, hey, God, I am missing the real thing. If I go into Genesis to Malachi and I'm seeing Methuen, which I like Samuel, who is obedient, also refers to, I'm missing the picture. Are you listening to me? If I go to the scripture and I'm seeing Abraham married 2 wives, Hagar and Sarah and Keturah, I'm missing the main thing. If I get into the scripture and I'm seeing Cain killed Abel, and I'm reading it as a Bible story, I am missing the real picture. The real picture is what concerning the resurrection. And that is what I should see. Are you hearing me? That is what I should see. I must not see anything outside that. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. So when I go into the scripture and I see it's not good for a man to be alone, I'll make him and help me. And I've seen a woman, I have missed it. But it's bad now to not throwing. I miss it. Do you understand? And I must see salvation. Hallelujah. I'm going to Genesis and I'm seeing Adam and Eve, and I'm not seeing salvation, I'm missing it. Amen. Concerning what? Himself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are we following? Are we following?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
So when he said they remember, what did they remember? Does that point you to something? He points you to the resurrection he taught them. So in that point of him teaching them, he told them, do you remember when I was in the temple? And I said, I'll build my body. This is it now. Oh, glory.
And they believed the scripture. Because Jesus in Matthew, in Luke 24, he taught them from Genesis to Malachi the things concerning himself. Amen. So, as he's teaching them and they get to temple, they say, oh, it's you. You understand? Their eyes were open. Luke 24:33, he said, this heart born within us. When they open the scriptures to us, they have born. It's as if when you have been taught and skills are going, this is not level. You know, glory to God. I know the embarrassing of saying I'm in Obama.
Glory to God.
Amen. So, what John makes us see is that at the resurrection, Jesus is referring to his body as the temple. So, in the resurrection, the temple is Christ's body in the resurrection, right? And he will build it in 3 days. So, can we say that the church was built from the place of the dead?
Yes. Jonathan was built from the place of the dead.
Hallelujah. He came alive in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the church is Christ in the resurrection. The church is Christ in the resurrection. Let's look at how Jesus now used the word church again in Matthew, not too far from Matthew 16, Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Look at verse 17. It says, we're talking about the man who is of who has his brother and that he wants to gain. Do you understand? Wants to gain back his brother. A man whose brother sinned against him. Now look at verse 17. And if he refuses to hear them, which is when he takes two or three people and he refused to hear him, he said, tell it to the church. Do you see that? Tell it to the church. Read your Bible. I'm reading Bible.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Talking about the man whose brother has offended him. He says, go and meet your brother. If he hears you again, if he does not hear, take two or three brethren, you go and meet him. Then if you resent by the words of two or three, a matter is established. Hallelujah. By two or three witnesses, the matter is established. If he refuses to hear you, he said, tell it to the church. Now, Jesus tells this church separately, differently. He said, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a hidden and a tax collector. A hidden and a tax collector. Now, he uses the word church here again differently. And it's something we need to see, and something we have to see in this teaching. Hallelujah. You know the word church again differently. It says, tell it to the gathering. Do you understand? Tell it to the gathering. You know, when we begin to discuss more, we discover that gathering will not be to the ministry gift in the gathering. But it talks about a gathering here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. So in that verse 20, he now says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. Did you see that? So that church he was referring to a gathering. Are you following me? He said, where two or three are gathered in my name and in the midst of them. So he was referring to a gathering there. So he calls the gathering church. Amen. 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 So, he uses it quite different from what we've seen in Matthew 16. So, first of all, why did he use it like that? So, Matthew makes you see that, first of all, he talks about the church in the person of himself, and now talks about the church as a gathering. So, that means the person of the church now places you in a gathering of believers. Do you understand? So, you almost all of us see the church from the standpoint of the person of the church, our unity, our identification with him in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So the church is seen as our identification with Christ in the resurrection, then our gathering together. Are you following me? Our gathering together. So Jesus makes you see that too. So it's from these two teaching of Christ that you will now find the epistle to explain the church in the person of Christ in the resurrection and our gathering. Do you understand me? So our gathering together is called church, not the building but the gathering. So it's that gathering that authenticates the building. Do you understand? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we will get to see that. So, but have this in mind, that gathering will only be possible because of our identification with him in that resurrection. Do you understand me? Because we are the church in his body. We are the church. Our unity with him is what will now bring about the gathering together. Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Our gathering together will be as a result of what has happened to us in the new earth. Look at something that Jacob wrote about in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Jacob. Genesis 49, 10. Jacob is speaking prophetically. He's about to bless his children before he departs. So in blessing his children, he said something. Look at verse 10. He said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh comes, and to him shall the gathering of the people be." New King James said, "To him shall the obedience of the people be." I am. He said, "To him shall the gathering of his people be." Gathering. He says, "The scepter shall not depart from where? Judah."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verses 9. He said, "Judah is a lion's whelp. From his prey, from the prey, my son, you have gone up." He said, he bows down. He lies like a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh comes. And to him shall the obedience of his people be."
Amen. Shall the gathering of his people be. So, now,
Jacob is speaking prophetically here. And he said, "This gathering shall be unto Judah." And who is called the lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus. So, Jacob is speaking prophetically about Christ. Remember, if I now get to Judah, and I look at Judah, and I say, "Judah! Judah shall be king. Judah shall be king." You know, I will miss it. I will miss it. Are you hearing me? I will miss it. Because Jacob was speaking prophetically. And he said, "Unto thee shall the gathering of your people be." And he now said, he was speaking prophetically about Christ. He now said, "Unto Christ shall the gathering of the people be." Amen. Amen. So what was Jacob talking about? He was talking about the redemptive work of Christ. Hallelujah. The redemptive work of Christ in his body. So our gathering together as believers will be found, or let me put it like this, our identification in Christ is that gathering he's talking about. Do you understand me? He's talking about our identification in him. So that gathering Jacob was speaking about was our identification in him. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So he was talking about the redemptive work, his body. That his body, that's where we'll be gathered, that's where we'll be found. Amen. So Jesus is the church.
Who is the church? Jesus is the church. The person of the church is Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the church. Listen, Jesus is not part of the church.
Jesus is part of the church. Yeah, we see. No, Jesus is not part of the church. Jesus is the church. Quickly, let's stand that. Jesus is the church. He's not part of it. He is the church. Amen. Amen.
He is the church. And our gathering is unto him. Meaning, in the new birth, we are found in him.
So how can a man be found in Christ? And by faith in Christ. Do you understand me? Believing in that redemptive work, you are found in him. So Christ is the church, and we are identified in him
by the new birth. So he is the church.
We are found in him. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Part of you, right? Cool. But it's normal. You have to listen to the message again. But I know you understand.
Hallelujah. You understand?
Glory to God. You understand? You understand very well.
Amen. Amen. Are you hearing me? So we are all found in him in the new birth. All of us. irrespective of your denominational affiliations.
Once you are born again, we are all found in Christ. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I need you to see that clear. When a child is due to white garment or black garment and is born again, we are all found in Christ. Where the person's church has AC and your own has fire, we are all found in Christ. Where the person, when he goes to church, oh my God, the sound is boom. And you come to church, the sound is bing, and you are born again. We are all found in Christ. Amen.
Where the person comes to the gathering with a G-wagon, and you come with legacy bands, you are all found in Christ. Otrek. All found in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Once you are born again, we are found where?
In Christ.
Where the person agrees with wearing Jericho, when the person does not agree with wearing Jericho, once you are born again, we are all found in.
Are you hearing me? The person says, in my gathering or in my church, we don't wear trousers. If you wear trousers, you go to hellfire. He's born again, she's born again. And you wear trousers. We are all found in
Christ.
We are members in
Christ.
We are brethren. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah.
Yes,
yes. Whether you pray fire and you pray water, we are found in Christ once we are born again.
Never lose sight of that. As in, never lose sight of that.
I hear nothing. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Let's look at some things in the epistles as we begin to get to the closing remarks. So we're all found in the new birth. Galatians 6 verse 10. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Household of faith is referring here to the word,
our gathering together in Christ. Do you understand me? So he calls the church the household of faith.
Are you following me?
Remember that our gathering together in him is called church. Right? Jesus is the person of the church. Our gathering together is where the new birth. Right? So our gathering together in him is called what? Church. Is that clear?
Is that clear? You don't know which declare. I know where you got in your French. Glory to God. Ephesians 2:9. It says, are you in Ephesians 2:19? Ephesians 2:19. It says, now therefore, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and the saints and members of the household of God.
We are called saints.
You know,
I was speaking to someone some days back in my car with a colleague of mine, good back home, and I said, you know, we are saints. He said, no, how can you say we are saints? He said, you know, that is my problem with all of us who are believers. He said, saints are those who are dead. Well, it doesn't change the fact that because she's born again, we are brethren. I just smile. We are saints.
Hallelujah.
Who said so? Scripture has showed us we are saints. You are not a saint when you die. No. You are saved by reason of the new birth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Glory. He calls us saints. He calls us fellow citizens. Fellow citizens of the household of God. So he calls that union in Christ, he calls it the household of God. Amen. Amen. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. He said, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. He's called the family, his family in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. When he uses the word family in heaven and on earth, he speaks of one body. Hallelujah. Heaven and on earth, he speaks of one body. He speaks of union. Hallelujah. We are united in him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 5. Verse 4, verse 4. He said, there is one body. Say one body. One spirit. Hallelujah. He said, there's one body, one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. He calls it one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So that union, he calls it what? One baptism, one Lord, one body. You don't have different bodies. One body. So this teaching will make you think. Part of the reason why we are teaching is so that we would, first of all, this message, this teaching, so that we know how to relate to fellow believers. No matter their denomination, we are what?
One
family. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Amen.
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 He calls us, he says, one body, one spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, in one spirit we're baptized into one body. So it's one spirit. We are united. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, cause it one faith. We have one faith. It's not different faith. We have one faith.
Because they know my own faith is different from your own faith. You're not weird.
It's one faith. One faith.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's see Peter. Brother Peter. Apostle Peter. First Peter 2 verse 4. It says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Say, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer our spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He calls that church, that union, he calls it spiritual house. You understand me? Spiritual house. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, did I add it here? A second? Okay, let's go look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16. Verse 16. Say, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Ghost lives in you? The you here is referring to who? Our gathering, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2, said to the church of God which is in Corinth. So he's referring to a gathering. So he said, we all in Christ. He said, God dwells in us. So that chapter, 1 Corinthians 3, 16, is not referring to individuals, referring to the gathering in Christ. He says, the Spirit of God dwells in us. Hallelujah. That gathering in Christ. Remember, there's a gathering in the person of Christ, right?
Yes.
Not the physical gathering, but the gathering in the person of Christ, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
Now, we're not dealing with the physical location, we're dealing with what our identification with Christ. And it calls us what we are, fellow citizens. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are brethren. Brethren is the Greek word adophos. It means we are from the same source. Glory to God. Whether black, white, anything, we are from the same source. So if I go to Asia today and I see a red Indian and is born again, we are from the same source. No discrimination. Glory to God. We are brethren. Brethren. We are brethren. Amen.
Amen.
So, what I just showed up now, these are expressions to show the oneness of our identity. Hallelujah.
Expression to show the oneness of our identity. If you read all of Paul's letter, he calls the believers saints. Saint. Hallelujah. Saints.
These are the expressions of our identity in Christ. Together. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, you know, just as we said, Jesus rose as the church and we are united in him in that resurrection. Right? By believing.
We are united in him in that resurrection by believing. Romans 6. I quoted that earlier. Romans 6 from verse 1. It said, shall we continue to sin that grace may abide? Say, nay, how shall we go and death to sin even no longer? He said, don't you know, not even baptized into Christ, baptized into his death. So we're buried with him in baptism. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that you too must
should walk in newness of life. So we are identified with him by believing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, quickly, let's look at chapter 12, verses 27. He now calls. Oh, he said, now you are the body of Christ and members individually.
Do you see that?
Are you following this? So, we are his body together. We are what? His body together.
And when you hear body, we are coming to that point. So, somebody now say, I am this eye, I am this hand, I am this head. And
Ooh, that's not what don't see that way.
You know, that is a mistake a lot of people make. You say, but Paul said if the hand says no,
Paul is only trying to explain. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal.
So he will use carnal expressions to explain what he wants, where he's going to. You know, he will not say like that to the church in Ephesus. But you say you will use the expression for the church in Corinth because well, they were can't. So you now say that if you now go down this ear and the idea of God, you are not here.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Glory to God. So we are members.
He calls us members individually. And he said we are together his body. In 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creations because of what that identification. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ is a new creation, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. In that same 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 12 to 13. Remember in verse 27, we've seen that we are his body together. Now look at verse 12. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. I want you to see that. He doesn't say, for in one spirit, that word by actually means in. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slave or free. Did you see? Whether Jews or Greek, whether slave or free, whether Olumba,
whether white garment or black garment. I didn't say that. Whether white garment or black garment. Amen.
Amen. As long as we are born again, whether rich or poor, he says what? Verse 13. He says we have all been made to drink into one spirit. Is this not unity? Is this not unity? So God has achieved unity in his body.
Whether president of the world or non-president, whether you're a farmer or an oil worker. I hear me, we all drank, we are all made, we are all baptized into Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, no matter what you achieve in the earth, so don't be your more baptized into Christ than another person. No, you're all baptized into Christ. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
sir. Amen. Whether the person, because the person is born, whether the dead person is fighting Satan every day, and you learn how to resist the devil, just resist the devil, and the devil is fighting every day, he's going for deliverance every day, it does not make him less of a believer than he is.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's proceed. So, this piece of unity. So, God has achieved unity in his body.
Which body? The body of Christ. It's unity. Hallelujah. So, that's why Paul was saying, whether bond or free.
Hallelujah. Whether Greek or Jews. Say, we've all been made to drink into one spirit.
Glory to God. Glory to God. That was why when in the house of Cornelius, they were astonished that even on the Gentiles the Holy Ghost was given. So we all be made to drink of one same spirit. Glory to God. Amen.
And all this is possible by the new birth.
Galatians 3, verse 27 into 20.
All this is possible by the new birth. Galatians 7:28. It says, for as many of you as baptized into Christ have put on Christ, whether Jews or Greek. There is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? There's no distinction, there's no discrimination. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.